I was barely 6 years old when I first heard him sing. And somehow I knew from that moment on that it would be a lifetime thing. And I'd stand in front of a mirror day and night, and I'd listen to every one of his records, and I'd repeat every word and every note until I finally got it right. And I was determined that I'd wait for the day that I could stand and sing in front of an audience, and maybe someone would come up to me and say, "You know, you sound just like Elvis." There was a man who gave the world his song, and the world stood still to hear him sing. A simple man who took his faith alone, while all the world proclaimed him king. Now the king is gone, and oh, what a reign, and the crown on his head will remain. From a working man to royalty to everlasting fame, the king is gone, yeah, the king is gone, but long live his name. There was a man who tasted sweet success, but still gave his hand to help a friend. A loving man who shared his happiness. Now the king is gone, but there was a man. Now the king is gone, and oh, what a reign, and the crown on his head, oh, will remain. From a working man to royalty to everlasting fame, the king is gone. Yeah, the king is gone. Long live his name. Yeah, the king is gone. Oh, the king is gone. Long live his name. Goodbye, Elvis. We'll miss you.
Hello, this is Brian West, and I want to thank you for listening in to the interview I did with Linda Hood Sigmund, and it's titled, "Is Elvis Still Alive?" Myself of Boston Internet Radio doesn't endorse that Elvis is dead or Elvis is alive. And the information you're about to hear is presented as entertainment only. It's up to the individual listener to do his own research and come to that conclusion whether Elvis is still with us or he isn't. Once again, thanks for listening. Good morning, Linda, and I want to thank you so much for being with me for this interview on Is Elvis Presley Alive? And if you would you tell us a little bit about yourself and your website?
Sure, Brian. I'll be glad to. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it so much. I'm just an ordinary, everyday person. The only thing interesting about me is that I'm friends with the man who was Elvis Presley. I'm a retired office administrator, bookkeeper. My website has been in existence since May of 2009, and the reason for my website originally was because Jesse co-wrote a book which was published in 2001, and I was prominent in that book, but I was in there under a pseudonym. Jesse had suggested that we all remain anonymous and under pseudonyms in the book, and his co-author kind of underhandedly put his name and face on the book, And because I had done a newsletter back in 1990 and 91, and the co-author had been a member of my group and had been mentioned in my newsletter, people suddenly realized who I was. My name in the book was Shuma. But when they realized who I was, there were a few people who mean-spiritedly decided to expose me, and a lot of very unkind things and untrue things were published about me on the internet. And so after about 8 years of sitting back and seeing those things about me on the internet, I asked Jesse if it would be all right if I use my real name to defend myself. And he said, sure, and you can use my name too. So initially my website was set up just to clear my reputation, to clear my name, so that when people did a search for my name on the internet, they would come up with my website as well as those negative things that were out there. And it was only to have been just a couple of pages just to prove that I am who I am and prove that I was telling the truth, that you know, Jesse is my friend. And it has just evolved from there. I'm very blessed in that my website has done so well. And now I have over 280,000 visits. And I'm very, very pleased with my website. And Jesse, as things progressed, decided that he would occasionally tell me things that I could put on there, things directly from him. And it's just done really well, and I'm just so proud to be blessed and honored by him that he asked me to be his voice. And I try my very, very best to present the true image of the man that he is. Elvis Presley, the image, did die on August 16, 1977, but he reinvented himself as his twin brother Jesse, who was stillborn. And he said that he could always feel Jesse with him all of his life, and that Jesse deserved to live too. He said that Elvis lived for 42 years, and that Jesse deserved to have 42 years as well. And since 1977, he has tried to live just a private, everyday life, just like anyone else. He told me, when he explained to me about being Jesse now, and he said that he explained all about why he did what he did, and he said, and I thought I could have a normal life. Unfortunately, Gail Giorgio published her book in 1988, Is Elvis Alive? And it became a worldwide bestseller, and it pretty much exposed the fact that he did not die. So after that book came out, of course, more and more people were talking about him being alive, and more people were looking for him. And, of course, there have been a lot of sightings, which are just frivolous things that are not true. But a few of the sightings have been true. So where we are right now, he's Jesse. He lives a normal, everyday life. He just wants to be known as a man who had a famous brother. And that pretty much brings us up to where we are now.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. And do you think, based on this and having contact with Jesse, I'm sure listeners would be really interested in knowing, do you think there'll ever be a day that he'll come forward and tell his story personally?
No, he does not have any intentions of coming forward. That was one thing that happened when the book was published in 2001. The co-author did a lot of interviews, and he promised the public that Elvis was going to make a public appearance in 2002, that he was going to come out. And Jesse was telling me during that whole time that no, he was not coming out. He had no intentions to come out. So that really damaged the credibility of the book. after Jesse did not come out in 2002 as the co-author promised, then people assumed that the book was a hoax, that it wasn't the truth, that it wasn't really written by Elvis. And that was when the beginning started of my troubles, the stories that were being told about me. And that is very much a shame, because the book, had it been presented properly to the public and published in a more credible fashion, should have been just a huge monumental success. But the way that it was published by pretty much a vanity press, and the way that it was presented to the public with false promises of Jesse coming out, pretty much destroyed the credibility of the book. But the interesting thing is that now, of course, that book is out of print. There weren't that many copies published, and it's out of print and has been for years. Now, people are selling it, resellers are selling it for exorbitant prices on the internet, which is a shame, because Jesse intended for that book to be affordable so that his fans could read it and understand why he went away and how he felt about everything.
Yeah, that's completely understandable. In fact, that strikes on an interesting point. Can you tell us a little bit, too, about, how this all started? I mean, why did Jesse, when he was Elvis, why did he have to disappear? What were the circumstances behind that?
All right. I've made a few notes because I like to have everything kind of organized. He was so very tired of being Elvis Presley. He told many people around him that exact thing leading up to August the 16th. If you read in books, you'll see numerous people who say he told them he was so tired of being Elvis Presley. He wrote some notes, more or less, to himself during his last engagement in Las Vegas when he was in his hotel room at night after the shows. He wrote some very touching notes saying, I don't need all of this. Lord, help me. I don't know who I can trust to talk to anymore. I'm so alone. And those notes have been published in books, and I have some of them on my website if people would like to look. He was just so miserable. He was so unhappy. His health was deteriorating. He had a lot of health problems. He felt like he just couldn't keep up anymore. He was doing two shows a day, traveling from city to city for weeks at a time. And you can see how tired he was in some of those videos of his latter performances. Believe it or not, his finances were floundering. His father had made some unwise business choices in handling of his money. And he said at one point he felt like he couldn't even keep Graceland up anymore. And he was lonely. He was very depressed. He said he was not getting to see his old friends anymore. And he particularly mentioned Johnny Cash. He wasn't getting to see people like Jerry Lee Lewis anymore. And there's an interview with Jerry Lee Lewis, as a matter of fact, on YouTube, which I also have on my website. And it's the story about how Jerry Lee Lewis came to go to his house that night, the famous story about Jerry Lee being there and being drunk and waving a gun around and the police being called. And I won't go into that whole story. If anyone wants to look it up, you can on the internet, on YouTube. But Jerry Lee said that Elvis had been calling him repeatedly, begging him to please come to Graceland to see him and telling him how depressed he was. And Jerry Lee said, he just kind of shrugged it off. He thought, no, Elvis Presley can't be depressed. And he kept putting him off and putting him off. And finally, one night when Jerry Lee had been at a party and been drinking too much champagne, Jesse was begging him, well, Elvis was begging him to come by Graceland. So Jerry Lee said, okay, I will go. And that's how the whole thing happened, with the thing at the gates and the police and everything. And he actually thought, as strange as it sounds, he actually thought that he would end up being booed off stage. He said that he couldn't possibly look any worse than he looked during that last tour, the one that was filmed by CBS.
Yeah, and that's what we were saying, what I was saying before we did started the interview, that at the end there, he did, you could see it that he was tired. He was tired,
he was.
And you could
he
tell
was
he was sick, you know.
His health wasn't good. He literally would have physically died if he had kept going the way that he was.
Right.
So the fans need to be so thankful that with God's help, he found a way out of his misery, out of that lifestyle that was killing him.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you next. Tulinder was, because I'm sure there's a lot of listeners here that are probably wondering the same thing. Elvis, having been in the state that he was at the time of August 16th, why didn't he, if you can answer this, I don't even know if you can answer it, but why didn't he just go ahead and just do a farewell show, retire, and just say, hey, folks, you know what? It's time to give it up. You know, I just can't do this anymore. And just retire instead of disappearing the way that he did. I don't know if that's something you can answer or you might even know, you know.
Well, I can touch on it. For one thing, his fame was so monumental. He couldn't go anywhere. He just literally could not go anywhere without people recognizing him. And if he had retired, the fans still would not have left him alone. They would have still been standing at the gate, looking into the yard of Graceland, waiting for him to come outside.
That's true.
It would have never ended. I mean, he could have retired. He could have stopped doing shows. But as you can see now, 35 years after he left, people still just cannot get enough of him.
Yes.
And had he said, I'm retiring, you know, I'd like my privacy, he loved Graceland. He said that he never really felt at home until he got back to Graceland. And that's obviously where he would like to have lived. But he couldn't. He told J.D. Sumner one time, he, you know, looked out and saw the people out the gate from the house. And he said, why don't these people get jobs and go to work? You know? Why? You know?
Instead of peeking in my window. Yeah.
So he had no privacy. He never had any privacy.
Well, I'm sure the paparazzi would have chased him to the ends of the earth anyway.
Well, they would. You know, retiring and stop doing shows would have not given him privacy.
No, because I can remember back some time ago, I had read a story that I just sat there and I just kind of had a smile, but I shook my head. I mean, the poor guy couldn't even go Christmas shopping. They used to have to open stores after hours for him to go.
He could not go to theaters. He could not go, you know, if he wanted to go to Liberty Land with Lisa when she was a little girl, he had to wait until it was closed and rent the whole place out just for him and his family and friends. He couldn't go to theaters, you know, unless he rented the theater out after hours and went with his friends. He couldn't do any of the things that all of us just take for granted.
Yeah.
And I don't think, and it's, you know, with stars nowadays, they're popular for a while, and the people are after them, and the paparazzi's after them and everything. But even though they're still alive and still performing, they kind of lose their, you know, they lose that, I don't, that magnetism for people. They kind of fade away. I mean, you look back over people like, we'll say Randy Travis. He was a huge, huge star there for a while. And then his popularity kind of started to fade away. And it happens with those people, but it's never happened with Elvis, not since the very beginning in 1956, he has just drawn more and more and more people to him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You and know, it continues and now.
I can remember way back when, what was I think it was the Ed Sullivan show he was on, and they refused to show him from below the waist. They'd only show him from the waist up, and there was that episode that was at the Grand Ole Opry, I think it was, when he was trying out for it or something, as I remember the story correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically told him pick up his guitar and go home. He'd never be in anything. Well,
go back to driving a truck.
Yeah, I know that guy now is, I'm sure for a long time he ate those words, you know. There was really something that the way it all came about, you know, I think it was just, like they say, right time, right place. And he just happened to pop, you know, and he popped. He helped change the music as it was back in those days. And,
the culture.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Affected the whole world.
That's right, yeah. He did. I mean, literally, the whole world. And it's really interesting. The other thing is that I did want to touch on too is can you tell us a little bit more now? Because people are probably wondering about the new CD out. You know, Elvis Found Alive. How that came about, why it came about, and I'm sure along with that too, the question is out there. Well. If he wants to remain secluded and doesn't want to be found, why is he doing these things, such as making a CD, getting it out there, and I guess basically could even say talking with you and having you pass information out there. Why is he doing this if he's still alive and doesn't want to be found?
Well, there are several reasons. He worries about the fans, what they think of him. One of his very first questions to me when we spoke on the phone years and years ago, he asked me, did I think the fans would be disappointed in him? And I thought about it just a little bit, and I said, no one has the right to be disappointed in you. No one else has lived through what you've lived through. He is concerned about what the fans think of him. He wants them to understand why he had to do what he did to survive, mm-hmm. and to forgive him for what he did. He wrote the book that I've been talking about, which was published in 2001, to be published after he's really gone from this earth. And it was pressured and pushed into being published in 2001. He since told me that book should have never been published until he was gone. But he wants the fans to know the truth and to know that it was not a joke, it wasn't just a hoax, that it was something he had to do to physically survive. Now, the thing about the CD, Joel Gilbert, who produced the DVD by the same title, Elvis Found Alive, in conjunction with the CD, he found Jesse. I don't know quite how he tracked him down. Jesse said he'd been following him for quite a while. He tracked him down and kind of cornered him. And Jesse felt like if he didn't lend his voice to this Joel Gilbert's project, that they were going to expose him then. So he went ahead and consented to lend his speaking voice to the DVD. The DVD is not at all to Jesse's liking. He was not happy at all that it was released, and in the manner that it was presented. Jesse had been filmed in silhouette reading a transcript, a script that Joel Gilbert had written for that show, that movie that he was taping. The words and the thoughts and so forth in that DVD are not Jesse's. They're not coming directly from him. Some of it is truth, but Jesse said the only thing really authentic about the DVD is his voice. Now, they asked him when they were doing the DVD if he'd like to go into the studio and do some recording, and he agreed that he would, and he said he enjoyed doing it. He said that the musicians they had there were accomplished musicians, and that they were like little boys, little kids, because they were getting to work with him, to play music with him. And he said he enjoyed it, that it was fun to do. But he did not know in advance that Joel Gilbert was going to release it either. And after he did, I was honored by Jesse in that he told me that I could tell on my website that it really is him on the CD. I have a 2-page handwritten letter, which he sent to me to post on my website explaining how the DVD came into being. And it was about a month after that that he told me over the phone that it really is him on the CD. And I've just raved in appreciation of how wonderful the CD is. And he's so modest, and just so modest. He said, I'm glad to know I can still sing. That is pretty much it. Joel Gilbert has not promoted the CD very much at all, personally. I haven't seen him doing any interviews or giving any explanations of how the CD came to be. Although he did put it out there for sale on many sites on the internet and in stores. It's been physically in stores in Walmart, and it's been on Amazon for quite a while, and iTunes. You can buy